Markets continue to rally worldwide. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Markets are rallying across Europe and Asia today, as they did in the U.S. yesterday. Much of that appears to be driven by relief that the U.S. may not be starting a global trade war, at least not yet. Joining us now is Jasper Lawler. He's head of research for London Capital Group. Good morning, Jasper.
Hi, good morning, Sabri.
Why do you think banks and tech companies appear to be leading this rebound?
Well, banks typically are thought of as the most sensitive to the global economy. And so now, as those trade war fears are receding, actually banks stand to be some of the biggest net beneficiaries. Technology companies, I would say that the reason last week was particularly dramatic was all the news that we had around Facebook. And so what I think we're starting to see now that is that actually the situation with Cambridge Analytica is more of a Facebook-specific event, and that actually some of the other technology companies don't necessarily have to be embroiled in the same process, and investors are picking up some of these other tech stocks at bargain prices.
We're not quite out of the woods. The S&P is still down 2% for the month of March. Are there still things that are weighing on markets?
Well, I think you certainly have to say that we don't know the end result of these trade discussions, so it certainly could disintegrate again into a risk of a trade war. There's a lot of staff turnover at the White House. That creates uncertainty about policy direction. Put all that together with the fact that generally the environment we're in is now that of higher volatility, is going to create these kind of large positive and negative reactions.
All right. Jasper Lawler, head of research for London Capital Group. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Sabri. Thanks for having me.
And let's take a look at those numbers. The FTSE in London is up 1.9%. The German DAX is up 1.9%. The Nikkei is up 2.7%. Here in the U.S., Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.5% range, with the Dow future up 122 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.85%. British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline is paying $13 billion to its one-time partner Novartis to buy Novartis' stake in a healthcare joint venture between the two companies. GlaxoSmithKline will take full control over products like Sensodyne toothpaste and over-the-counter cold and flu treatments. GlaxoSmithKline stock is up in European trading. Apple is making a field trip to Chicago today to say something. That much we know. The rest, in classic Apple fashion, is shrouded in secrecy. The best guess about today's event is that the company will introduce a more affordable iPad. It could be a move to regain its shrinking presence in the education market, as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
Apple beat Google and Microsoft into the classroom, but their devices were cheaper, and that cost Apple. Justin Reich is an education researcher at MIT. He says most students use tech for simple tasks like taking notes and writing papers.
If that's all you're asking a computer to do in a classroom, then the least expensive one is usually a great solution.
The new iPad is expected to have a sticker price around $260, similar to Google's Chromebook and Microsoft's Surface. But says Jitesh Ubrani, a tech analyst with IDC Group, the stakes for these companies go beyond the $7 billion education market.
You're getting kids used to using your products at a very early age. You know, once they graduate, once they're out of school, they want to use a product, they're going to go to something that feels familiar.
And Ubrani says just because Apple lowers its price doesn't mean schools will sign on. Many school systems have contracts for their current devices that last years. I'm Erica Barris from Marketplace.
Detroit has a rich history of urban agriculture, and today, gardens and farms are recognized as part of the solution to Detroit's challenges around vacant land, poverty, and food access. Since 2016, the city's gained more than 22 new large-scale gardens and farms, bringing the total to more than 540. As these new farmers put down roots, some are wondering how they'll shape the future of the city. From Detroit, Paige Flager reports.
Gloria Duncan's kid bought her house in 2007. It overlooked a vacant lot across the street, and for a long time, she wondered about who might buy that land and what that might mean for her neighborhood.
We didn't want condominiums over there. We wanted something quiet that we could trust. You know how they can change it real quick.
But after a decade of worrying, she's excited about her new neighbors.
Welcome to the farm! Yay! We bought land!
Ryan Anderson and his business partner, Hannah Clark, moved to Detroit to start their new for-profit farm called Acre. They sell their produce to a few higher-end restaurants in the city. But Detroit can be a complicated place to navigate for new farmers. Malik Yakini is a native Detroiter and one of the founders of a nonprofit farm called D-Town.
If you're not aware of the context in which you're operating, if you're not aware of the social and political dynamics, and you just plop in here and you say, well, I'm here and I'm going to do farming, then you're likely going to move in a way which is not going to be supportive of community goals and aspirations.
Farms that have been in the city for a long time, like D-Town, place a lot of importance on social justice and food access. Anderson and Clark, the new for-profit farmers, say their goal is to eventually be able to contribute to those social justice efforts. But first, they say they have to make a profit from their one-acre farm.
Selling to restaurants allows us to both create a financially sustainable business and provide healthful, hyper-local food to our neighbors.
Other farmers, like Nick Jones, say while these urban farms add a lot to their neighborhoods, they may become magnets for development. That's why he's considering buying land outside of the city.
I didn't want to contribute to completely like upheaving a neighborhood and displacing people.
Some wonder if the farmers who see the city as a financial opportunity now will have more incentive to sell than to stay. In Detroit, I'm Paige Flager for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.